Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. My name is Brian Hess, and I am again here with Stephen Wakefield.
Big surprise.
Big surprise. Here I am. You're back again, man. Yep. Yeah.
Great. Does this mean I made the cut?
I think so.
I don't know what cut, but something. Yeah,
this is 3 weeks in a row, yeah. So man, I've loved it. I've loved having you on here.
Yeah, me too.
It's been really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do a little bit of a recap. How are you doing? Sure. How's your week been?
Doing great. Yeah, it's been a solid week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what about you?
It's been good. You know, I spoke the last 2 weeks and it's, you know, Katie and I were talking about this. I love it. I love doing that as much as anything, but it takes a lot out of
me. Yeah.
It like, especially because that's not built into my weekly routine. Right. If I spoke every week, I'd have that built in and I would have a system in place for that.
Right.
But because it's more periodic, happens periodically, I have my week kind of built out.
Yeah.
And so this kind of throws everything off.
Right.
Because like throughout the week, like that's what I'm thinking about.
Yep.
I have other things I'm doing, but primarily I am like, I'm pretty focused centered on, in and focused in for the entire week on this message. And so even if I'm not sitting down to study and prep and write, I'm thinking about
it. Yeah. It's like your default back burner. Like, okay, so where am I at?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, it's been a great week. I loved speaking the last couple of weeks, but, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I used to hear one of the pastors I worked for, he would say, and I can't tell you if this is true or not. I've heard it in a couple places, but he'd always say, it always cracked me up. He'd say, yeah, man, I've heard that the emotional toll it takes to preach a message is like the same as working an 8-hour day just to preach a message. And I always felt a little bit like, I feel like you're just trying to get me to feel sorry for you for preaching. And I know you love it. Right.
That's funny. I don't think I would equate it to that quite.
No. The prep could be there.
The prep, it is. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. And I put a lot into it if I'm going to speak. But I think the actual delivering, to me, that's like the fun part.
Yeah, me too.
And so it's like, to me, like actually delivering the message is like my way of celebrating all the work I've done in preparation for that. So I feel like actual delivery is like almost like a release.
Yes.
You know, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm open to other people having different experiences than me.
Yeah.
But in my experience, it's just not.
Yeah. Like that. It's just this cross to bear, you know, man. Just took a lot out of me, man.
Yeah. Okay, let's continue the conversation.
Yeah.
For those of you who are listening and you are not part of our church, or maybe you're part of our church, but you were not here last night. When I say last night, I mean, as of recording, it's Monday.
Yep.
We continued the conversation on spiritual formation. We approached it from the context of, the other greatest hindrance to our formation. Mm-hmm. So, the week before, I talked about formation and one of the greatest hindrances being that we are too reliant on experience alone in the forming of our beliefs. And in doing that, we often find ourselves believing things that are at odds with what the Lord believes.
Right.
And so the question is, how do we align our beliefs with Him in order to pursue the things He would have us pursue?
Yeah.
Because absent of belief in, you know, formation or healing or anything, You're not going to spend time thinking about it. You're not going to spend energy going after it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so central to our faith because it's not like we're living in the time where Jesus is literally walking around, you know? Yeah. So really our entire like journey of following Jesus starts from a belief in something that is said to be true in scripture that you can't justify with your eyes, you know? So if you miss that, you've kind of missed it all, you know?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so last night I talked about the other great hindrance to our formation, which is hurry. And, I think like most people, I think the first time you hear that, you know, I thought like, well, I don't know if I would say that is the greatest hindrance. Yeah. But then once you really dive in to the reality that every aspect of our being and our lives are very deeply affected by the pace at which we live our lives.
Yeah.
You realize, actually, I think that's pretty spot on.
Yeah.
I think that hurry and being overly busy and too distracted is exactly what causes us to not be formed in the way that the Lord would have us be formed.
Yeah. Yeah. You talked about kind of this term that is referred to as sin. The root word, I think, was hamartia or something like that. Was that close?
Hamartia. Yeah. Nailed it.
Yes. That translates to missing the mark. And we've all, you know, if you've been around the faith a long time, you've heard that term. But I like that you talked about, so it's great that we talk about the things that define what missing the mark is, but we never talk about what the mark is.
Yes.
So what is the goal? What are we actually shooting for?
That had bothered me for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So like we focus on all the bad things we do, but not the good thing we're striving towards. Yes.
And
you know,
I think that stems from our love of the law.
Yes.
Because missing the mark is always equated to our behavior. And it's true that sin is acted out in behavior.
Yeah.
That's true. And so we're not saying that behavior is not an important part of the process.
Right.
That's just not the starting point.
Yes.
And yeah, it's just because the church has had such a hard time letting go of the law.
Yeah.
We want a law-based gospel.
Yeah.
We want something that we can achieve through our own means.
Right.
And it just is never going
to
work.
Yeah. He said last night, it cracked me up. He said, I think some of us would just prefer to be disciples of Moses rather than Jesus. Just give me a clear black and white, whatever.
Give me the stone tablets. Yeah. Give me the list of rules and I'll, you know, and I'll try my best.
Yeah. At least I know where I stand or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Yeah, I think that's often the mindset, and it's really hard to make the transition from having even a little bit of law mixed in the gospel to just purely grace.
Yeah,
but that's where the magic happens.
Yeah, yeah, and the mark being union with God,
yeah,
relationship with God. I think the natural thing, at least I'll speak for myself. Maybe others will relate to this, but I think. When you think about following Jesus and trying, you know, striving to do the right things, even if you're not trying to attack it from like a religious standpoint, it's always about like, yes, I want union with God. I want to be close to God. But when I really think about how crappy of a person I am and all these things, like, you know, if I was God and, you know, he was me, and he had done this, this, and this. Well, this is how I would respond to that. So I got to get all these things cleaned up and right, even if it's by going to him so that we can be good.
Right.
And one of the things you talked about last night was the idea that we have this in our head where sinning creates separation between us and God.
Yeah.
When in reality, God is ever present.
Yeah.
Like David says, I could go to the depths of hell and you would find me there. But it creates a feeling of separation from God. Mm-hmm. And so just this idea of, you know, is our starting place in, you know, striving towards that goal, to that mark, hitting the mark of union with God. What is our means for getting there? Is it Jesus or is it our works?
That is really good.
Yeah.
That is really good. I wish I'd said that last night.
Well, you did.
I didn't say that good. I love that. But you're right. If the mark is union with God, the mistake we make is thinking that we've got to figure things out on our own, on our own ability in order to approach him with like a pure heart.
Yeah.
When actually he's like, would you bring your mess to me and we'll clean this up together and we'll figure it out and I will form you and I will mold you into the person. Like, you're not going to do it by yourself.
Right.
Come to me and we'll do this together.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like in a lot of these miracles in Jesus's ministry, where someone like the woman caught in adultery, and there's others too, where he says the phrase, go and sin no more.
Yeah.
It always comes at the end of the conversation. It's always the parting word. And I think for us, we just have this assumption, probably because it's how our normal relationships with people are. If there's some sort of even feeling like there's bad blood, like we just got to address that before we continue to have a normal conversation or see each other. Or like something I'm terrible at is texting. Sure. Anyone who knows me for any amount of time knows I'm a 3 to 5 business day kind of guy.
I'm not great either. I get it. Yeah.
And so like I'll, you know, see a friend that texted me and I'm like, they say hi to me and everything's like cool, but I'm like, oh, I got to clear the air real quick. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I forgot to text you back. My bad. This is how busy I was, or I just forgot or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, I wasn't even thinking about that, man. We're good.
Yeah. You I know? Just forgot that yeah. I even texted you yeah. in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we can accidentally apply that to our relationship with him, where it's like, we just assume that the first thing Jesus wants to clear the air on is go and sin no more. Okay, now let's address what you need me for. Or right. now let's go, you know, mm-hmm. thinking about him doing ministry. Now let's go recline and eat together mm-hmm. or whatever. But it just wasn't Jesus' response. And that's why people were constantly so angry at him, all the religious priests. They're like, why is he dining with sinners? Why is he like hanging right. out with all the wrong people?
Yep.
First, they should clean up their life. Then it would make sense. He should be hanging with us because mm-hmm. we've already cleaned ourselves.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, whoa, we just got a real good picture into who God really is.
Yes.
Like he's not drawn to the quote unquote perfect. He's drawn to just people.
Right.
And the ones who think that they've earned their right to be with him, it's like, oh, that's a little bit repulsive, man.
Yeah, you know? Right. Jesus wasn't attracted to that.
No.
He was not drawn into the, you know, drawn in by this, you know, like self-righteous yeah. thing that the Pharisees had.
Yeah.
Man, that's good.
Which is interesting, though, because you'd kind of think, like, if I'm on a really good track record and I'm like, I've yeah. been saying no at temptation, I've been in my word, I've been spending time.
Yep.
You would go like, okay, like me and God are in a good spot. But I
right.
I think from his perspective, the tax collector is in just as quote unquote good of a spot as the devout follower, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. One of the verses I quoted, I think I said it last night, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith in Christ, we yeah. have peace with God.
Right.
And oftentimes we assume that peace with God comes through our spiritual, you know, devotional life.
Yeah.
And so we think that I'll have peace with God when I've done whatever imaginary checklist you have, when I've prayed right. this much, when I've read the Bible this much.
Yeah.
You know, people might think I missed church, or I missed small group, or I didn't pray yesterday. And so now there is, again, this like imaginary separation right. between us and the Father.
Yeah.
Like as far as he's concerned, your relationship with him is perfect.
Yes.
Like the sin's been forgiven, there's no separation, and now yep. you get to just walk with him.
Yeah. Yeah. There are moments where one of my kids will do something that's the opposite of what I just told them to do.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm so sorry, Daddy. And I go, okay, we're good. And, or even sometimes before we've even squashed it, like they've, you know, they've been in timeout or like whatever the punishment is. And they'll just come crawl up next to me and they'll want to snuggle. And it's like, all I want to do is snuggle anyways. So like, mm-hmm. we're good.
Yep.
And I think there's something in a child that goes, okay, even if Dad gets a little bit mad, he still loves me and wants me near him, mm-hmm. you know? And I think the older a kid gets, the more those little things like play into their mind, like, oh, are we good? A kid just doesn't think that way.
Right.
A kid's like, you might've been really upset at me, but like, you're still my dad. You want to go play?
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. And absolutely. I think that's how it is with God too. It's like, we're so hyper focused on like, oh, is there anything I got to get right before I go pray or go,
yep.
You know, ask God for something or mm-hmm. go do some like ministry type thing, go lead worship or yep. go serve on the usher team or whatever, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
God's like, no, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just come snuggle. Mm-hmm. Come chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think probably to bring it back to, you know, this idea of hurry being one of the hindrances of our formation. I think oftentimes what's happening is we're just lacking awareness.
Yeah.
Of just the reality of who he is and
right.
what he's like and what he wants and yep. what he's doing and what he will do. And the reason we lack awareness is because we lack attention.
Yeah.
Our attention is so unbelievably divided
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
And I feel it, especially as I was like getting back into this topic and reading Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it's a very convicting book.
Oh yeah.
Super convicting.
Yeah.
And I mean that in like the best way. And I need to read that book probably once a year. I mentioned that last night. This probably should be a once a year book
yeah.
because it's unbelievably easy to regress in some of these areas.
Yep.
And so in some ways I'm doing really well at living a life in which I feel really good about the pace, and I feel like it's very life-giving to my soul. But then there are some things that I've regressed in.
Yeah.
So like Katie and I have been, I don't like social media. For years I didn't have it.
Yeah.
And I preferred that.
Yeah.
right now I'm trying to do some things that kind of require it. And so yeah. I've been using social media, and it's just unbelievably addicting.
Yeah.
It is like infuriatingly addicting. Yeah.
Well, and especially if you're doing it from like a business standpoint.
Right.
So you're literally utilizing this as a tool, and you're waiting to see is there fruit from that effort.
Yes.
You know?
And that's making it way easier for me to justify my usage of social media, because I'm justifying it in my head. Because I'm on it, you know, throughout the day.
Yeah.
And I'm checking, and I'm trying to utilize it, like you said, because I think that it will benefit me with what some of the things I want to do and create. But at the same time, it's not been good for my mind, and it's been extremely distracting.
Yeah.
And so I'm fully aware of that.
Yeah. And I think you said last night the average American touches their phone 2,000 times a day.
I read that stat, and I think it was in that book. I read it somewhere in the last week, and I want to say it was either 2,200 or 2,700 times on average. How many times people touch their phone.
Yeah.
And And I got there last night from this idea that attention leads to devotion.
Yeah.
And in between attention and devotion, there's awareness.
Yeah.
And so the more, as we give attention to the Lord, we will become aware of him.
Yeah.
And become more aware of what he's like and his presence and his love and everything like that. And the more we give attention to him, that will lead to devotion to him.
Yeah.
And you can't have devotion without attention.
Right.
You can't ever achieve that for anything.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even just the idea of that term devotions, you know, doing my devotions.
Yeah.
I was at a church where like Bible reading was like the huge discipleship program, which is a novel thought.
Okay.
But their whole thing was like, have you heard of the SOAP method of reading scripture?
I don't know. So
it's an acronym.
Okay.
So scripture, observation, application, prayer.
Okay.
And so every time you read the word together, you'd write down, what was the scripture that stood out to me? What's the observation? What do I see happening in there? What's my application for my life? And here's like a written prayer about it.
Nice.
And so at that church, I was pretty heavily involved in like the youth and young adults ministry. And so like the big thing was, hey man, you want to go do devos?
Yeah.
So it'd be like 6 a.m., like they're going to school and, you know, I'm like leading a high school group or whatever. Okay, you guys going to want to meet at Starbucks and do our devos at 6:30? Mm-hmm. That was like the thing.
Yeah.
But it's one of those terms, devotions, like you think about it, the idea is it's something you are devoted to.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about those things that you choose to value in your life, in your relationship with the Lord, the same as like you'd have things that you value in a friendship. You know, you may have, growing up, a friend that like you just go play Xbox and eat, you know, Cheetos with them. That's like, that is what our relationship looks like. And when you start dating, it looks a lot different. There's things that you do together that you bond over.
Yeah.
And I think in the same way, all of these like spiritual disciplines or, you know, parts of formation, they all are just a means for relationship.
Yeah.
That's really the whole goal.
Sure.
The whole like devoting your attention, developing these different areas of formation. The whole idea is just, it's just a means to building a relationship with the Lord.
Right.
You know,
it's about hitting the mark.
Yeah.
Of just abiding in him.
Yes.
In union with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's good to like find those things within formation that are natural for you and to build on those. But after you get really comfortable with those, to start adding the other levels, the other aspects of formation in your life, because it makes that relationship much more robust. So like, for instance, to use like a spouse relationship or a dating relationship, like you may bond over going out to eat or going out and seeing a movie or something, but that like special time together, that's a great one to develop, but eventually you're going to have to also communicate. Eventually you're also going to have to do acts of service for each other. You know, you look at the love languages and stuff.
Yeah.
Like my number one love language may not be acts of service, but it doesn't mean I wouldn't appreciate acts of service from Taylor from time to time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, it just makes you a more robust person, a more robust, spiritually formed person to dive into the things that are natural, but to also invest some time in, say you're not like naturally drawn to prayer, that doesn't mean it doesn't have great value and really grow your relationship with the Lord to invest in that. Even if your number one way you feel like you connect with the Lord is say worship or something, you know?
Yeah. I love that. And I think looking at just the way society is ordered today, It's interesting. You saying that just gave me this thought that I've never heard somebody say like, well, prayer is just not really for me. That's not really my personality. Yeah. I've never really heard anybody say like, well, worship isn't really my thing.
Yeah.
But how many times have you heard somebody say, well, like slowing down just isn't my thing.
Yeah.
Rest isn't really my thing.
Or reading the Bible just really isn't my thing.
Yeah. And so the one thing I think is easiest for us to justify excusing on a basis of personality or whatever season of life is just slowing down a little bit, slowing down the pace of life and ordering our schedule and our time and our energy just around the things that actually matter most.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really hard to do.
Yeah.
Are you in the market for top-notch packaging solutions? Look no further. Introducing Associated Packaging, your trusted partner in packaging excellence. We specialize in providing high-quality packaging supplies and cutting-edge packaging automation. Our team is dedicated to ensuring your production runs smoothly with our factory-trained service technicians, just-in-time inventory management, and turnkey packaging solutions. Say goodbye to costly downtime. With Associated Packaging, you'll maximize uptime and reduce downtime, boosting your efficiency and profitability. Don't compromise on packaging quality and efficiency. Choose API for all your packaging needs. Call us today at 706-459-9996. Ask for Chad Balistrieri or visit our website at www.associatedpackaging.com. Associated Packaging, where packaging excellence meets innovation.
Yeah, it is. And I love you talked about how when we're hurried, what fruits of the Spirit are you seeing displayed in that moment? And I'm thinking none of them. Like I'm thinking in a moment of like rushing the kids out the door and I'm like, am I patient? No. Am I kind? No. Am I self-controlled? No. I'm like throwing stuff, getting it in the car. Yes. Like
I'm not joyful. I'm not patient. I'm not gentle. I'm not kind. All of those things disappear.
Right out the door. Yeah.
The more hurried we are.
Yes.
It's extremely real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said this last night, but anybody who's a parent with young kids understands that because kids move slowly.
Yes.
And we're taught to believe that slow is bad.
Yeah.
And we're taught to believe that everything needs to be fast. It needs to be convenient.
Right.
We deserve instant gratification of all of our desires.
Yeah.
And, and it's having a really massive impact on the quality of our life and the quality of, the health of our soul.
Yeah. And I also think it affects our rhythm of life a little bit too. Are you a hurried person or are you a person who takes a slower pace at life?
Mm-hmm.
It like, yes, on the cornerstone of our relationship with the Lord, it has a big impact, but it also has a big impact, to that point with our families.
Mm-hmm.
Like it would be such a travesty to have a fantastic, deep, intimate relationship with the Lord, but that not affect any other relationship in your life.
Sure.
It's like that idea of, I think maybe last week you talked about this in your message, but how anyone in the service industry, anyone in any food industry, coffee, anything, you ask them what the worst day of the week is to be in that, it is Sunday.
It's
because everyone rushes out of church. They're annoyed. They want their food quick. They don't tip well. I mean, I've been a server before and that was absolutely my experience too.
Yep.
It was always the hardest day of the week. And you have to ask yourself, like, why be so intimate in your relationship with God and it not affect your life in any other way? Like what a trap, what a shame,
Yep. Yep. And I think, and you talked about this on the podcast last week, that there is just there's been this massive surge of like self-serving Christianity.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of ways we fall into the trap of wanting the Lord for what we can get from him, what he can do for us, not necessarily because of just who he is.
Right.
And what happens is any concept we have of our like formation in him or our growth is again, self-serving.
Yeah.
And so, and I remember, it was John Tyson. It was one of those guys who I heard talking about this idea that like your formation isn't for you.
Yeah.
It's just not for you.
Yeah.
It'll benefit you, but it's for everybody else.
Yes.
Right? It's for the waiters who on Sunday afternoon who have been dealing with really difficult people all day.
Yes.
And they're for, your spouse and they're for your coworkers.
Yep.
And Yeah.
I've noticed too, some of the best conversations I've had with people outside of the church spectrum, where it becomes a moment where, you know, a moment of encouraging somebody, praying for somebody, like thinking about those moments, they just will not happen. They cannot happen in a lifestyle of hurry. They just can't.
Yeah.
So yesterday I was at Costco and wow, after Hurricane Helene came through, everyone's like, I have to get every roll of toilet paper on the shelves.
Oh my goodness.
It was cleaned out.
No way.
There was no toilet paper. And I mean, this is the closest one. The next closest Costco is 2 hours away, like close to Atlanta, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah. And they had like water bottles like stacked in the freezer aisle. They had like only Kirkland brand paper towels. I digress. This is all meaningless info, but it was quite the experience. But everyone, like, you could just kind of feel there was just this uneasiness. Mm-hmm. I think when you go to a store and you see things are like a little sparse, you kind of go, should I stock up a little bit? Like, is this
right?
You know? And so there was just an uneasiness and a little bit of a hurry where like people are kind of like, they want to grab that before it's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to make sure they got their paper towels or their whatever's left on the shelf, you know? And there's a guy that I just have met from going to Costco a few times that works there. And, he's a believer. His dad's a pastor. He's in real estate, just a random guy that I've just kind of connected with.
Sure.
And, so I was coming from a wedding and I had a tie on and all this stuff. And he's like, oh, what's up, Pastor? And I'm like, dude, you're crazy. He's like, what are you looking for? I'm like, okay, great. Chill out. Okay. He's like, but for real, you got to pray for me. And I'm like, okay, great. Wait, are you serious? And so all of this stuff, he's like in the middle of his shift and he goes, actually, yeah, let me go clock out. I got to come tell you. I'm like, okay, great.
Wow.
So we've never, like, we've talked about how I'm a pastor and we've talked about how his dad's a pastor and he does ministry with him and stuff like that. But he ends up like sharing some things in his life that like he just has going on. It was like thing after thing after thing. He's like, if you would pray for me, that'd be great. And I'm like, you want to do it right here? He's like, yeah, let's do it right here.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the back of my head, I know I've been gone. Like the kids stayed home with Taylor. So she's alone with them. It's like approaching nap times, which means everyone's just a little bit cranky.
Yeah.
And so I know like there's an aspect of, as soon as I get home, it gives her a little bit of relief.
Yep.
The kids get a little bit of relief. Mm-hmm. It's just more attention from their parents. And if I had been more focused on that and my agenda and not allowed myself to slow down, I'm not saying a miracle happened in the middle of praying for him in Costco, but I will say this, it meant a lot to him.
Yeah.
And there are so many moments, whether it's with people that are in our family or random people we've met at the store or whatever, being a believer who doesn't just simply believe in Jesus, but follows him and follows his lifestyle requires slowing down, walking away from the agendas of your day and the schedules and being willing to just say, okay, Lord, are you in this? I'm down. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was one of those moments where I just realized like, okay, I have some things I could hurry off to right now, but I just feel like God's in the moment. And this guy clearly needs a friend right now who just, you know, lift him up in prayer. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those moments where it was like, okay, this is like perfectly aligned with what we're talking about in our church right now. You know, this idea of hurry being the antithesis to the life of following Jesus.
Right.
And it was one of those like aha moments, like, okay, this is exactly what we're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't read the Gospels and find Jesus hurried.
You can't.
And I didn't share any examples, but even like, and I know this was intentional. He had purpose in this, but even when it was Mary or Martha, whichever one came to him, it was like, hey, Lazarus is dying. Would you come? He said, yeah, I'll come. And then it was a 2-day journey.
Yeah.
But he waited 2 days before he even left.
Yeah.
And so Lazarus is dead 4 days by the time Jesus gets there. And you just couldn't rush the dude.
Yeah.
And now you read the story and he knew what was going to happen.
Right.
And it was important to him that Lazarus be raised from the dead.
Yeah.
And so that was something he needed to happen. But like imagine how you would feel about, you know, your mentor, your pastor, your leader, whoever, if you had the most urgent thing going on that you're in your life ever.
Yeah.
You've never experienced anything more worthy of hurry than your brother dying.
Yeah.
And he says, I'll come. And it takes him 4 days to get there.
Yeah.
And you just couldn't rush the guy.
Yeah.
And even when he was on his way, I think it wasn't Jairus's daughter, or maybe it was Jairus's daughter. He's on his way to raise Jairus's daughter from the dead.
Yeah.
And that was when the woman who had bled for 12 years,
right.
Stopped him and she got healed, and he just kind of stopped and was present with her in that moment.
Yes.
Again, going to Jairus's house, we would have deemed that extremely worthy of
right.
rush and hurry.
Right.
But he wasn't hurried.
Yeah.
He fully trusted. And so because I think he trusted the future events in the hands of the Father, he was willing yep. to stop and be present.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that the slow pace of being present with the people with him right then in the moment wasn't going to deter or alter the Father's ability to do what he was going to do in the future.
Right. Right.
You know, and it's just, it's hard to wrap your head around
it is,
that
yeah.
kind of lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like this urgency, even with spiritual things. It's like, okay, well, we got to go address that now.
Yeah.
And still no hurry from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the centurion's daughter that dies and Jesus is like, we'll be there soon or whatever. And he's like, no, you don't even need to come.
Yep.
Just say the word.
Yep.
And it'll be good. And you see actually in the opposite side where the Roman goes, you don't need to hurry. I know that you have all of this taken care of.
Yep.
You can just do it now. Just say the word.
Yep.
You know, it's amazing. And Jesus marvels at his faith, you know?
One of two times it says,
yes.
it's recorded that he marveled because of his faith.
Yeah.
With the other time, it was the lack of faith that he caused him to marvel in his hometown.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's just, I think it's something that we need to, I think we have a habit, we have a tendency to hear a subject or hear a topic, and we get a couple cool one-liners, a cool couple ideas, something tweet-worthy or Instagram-worthy, and then we move on very quickly from that.
Right.
And the stuff we're talking about right now is just not something we need to move on from.
Yeah.
This is a lifestyle thing. This is a lifelong thing.
Yeah.
Because the world's only going to get more hurried.
Yes.
And this is just something that we need to sit with and be reminded of constantly.
Yeah.
For the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
That the pace at which we are living our lives matters.
Yeah. Yeah. And it plays into even just our gatherings too. It's like I think at our church, we're just not rushed. Our services, there's nothing rushed about them.
We don't ever start at 4 o'clock.
No.
We'll start at 4 or 5. We'll start at 4:10.
Yeah. And then when we do, worship could go an hour and a half. It could go 40 minutes.
Yep.
And it could go anything in between.
Yep.
The messages, same thing. We may be shooting for about 45 minutes, but like if God's doing something, we're just going to stay there,
yep.
you know? Mm-hmm. And if there needs to be a response at the end, then we're just going to take the time we need to take.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because we are so consumeristic, even when it comes to churches, I think we talked about this on the podcast a little bit last week, the idea of like, we'll go to a church because the worship is great, because the speaker is great, or, you know, whatever, the location's good. Mm-hmm. We're already, before we set foot in the door, we already have a bit of like preference driven, ideology.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get there, because we are so hurried as Americans, we're just constantly thinking about like, oh, man, my kids need to get down, or we need to go eat. I'm mm-hmm. starving or whatever. Yep. Like 4 o'clock is like kind of that in between time between lunch and dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And every church time is a little different, but like just thinking about what's happening in the gathering of the saints, it's so important that mm-hmm. God is allowed the space to do what God wants to do, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean everything has to be long. Like God can do a lot in a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But if the moment is not, if God is not ready to move us on beyond the moment, it's so important to stay in step with the Holy Spirit on that mm-hmm. rather than sticking to the plan, stick to the agenda, get people out of the door because, you know, if we don't, maybe they won't come back.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this so backwards mm-hmm. way of thinking about the gathering because like last night I talked about when I opened the service saying like, this is a holy sacred thing that we do mm-hmm. when we gather together.
Yeah, love that.
So why treat it as if it's like this little doorstop in the middle of the week that's kind of in the way of the other agendas of the day?
Right.
Like we do this once a week. So if we're going to do it once a week and we're expecting God to move, then let's let him move. Yeah. Like let's treat it like it's this holy sacred thing so mm-hmm. that God can do what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I do love that just about our culture.
Yeah.
That, you know, we're, and like you said, it's not that we want things to go long.
Right.
Last night I was telling Braden, I thought last night was going to be, in my preparation, I thought it was going to be a shorter message.
Yeah.
And as, throughout the process, as I had my final like notes together,
yeah,
I realized I had about 33% more notes than I did the previous week. And so I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm thinking like this, if it's going to take me a long time to get through this.
Yeah.
But even then, like as I'm like preaching and I'm trying to be mindful of several things. And you know what that's like. It's hard. Yep. Preaching is such a unique thing in that you are both speaking and listening at the same time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that is incredibly unique.
Yeah.
And so you're trying to speak and communicate to the people at the same time. You're trying to keep your ear open to what the Spirit is doing. Because in my head, I'm thinking like, and I do like to have that 45-minute clock, but that's for a reference for me.
Right.
Otherwise, like, and you know, otherwise, like there have been times where I've gotten up and spoken without a clock.
Yeah.
And it could be an hour and I felt like it was 20 minutes.
Oh yeah.
And so
yeah,
you want to have that awareness for myself, but I'm trying to gauge like, am I communicating something that people are going to grasp? And am I giving them too much? Am I giving them not enough?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, what are you doing?
Right.
Do you want me to keep going? I have a lot more notes here. Holy Spirit, do you want me to just deliver the whole thing and we'll be here for, you know, 60, 70 minutes, or do you want, you know, and it's this kind of, it's this dance with the Holy Spirit where at the end of the day, we're there to minister to the heart of the Father and to just follow his leading.
Right.
If things go long, it's because we felt him leading that way.
Yeah.
If worship wraps up in 20 minutes, it was because we felt him saying it's time to move on.
Yeah.
But it's this dance. It's such a unique thing that we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my kind of like, call it philosophy of ministry kind of ideas is that whatever we do in the gathering should be reflective, almost a model for how we follow Jesus during the week. And so, and that's just, it's my own personal thing. It's not like a, well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 14 where it backs this up. It's just my own kind of thought on it.
Okay.
And even with that, I think to myself like, okay, so if within the confines of gathering together, we have community, then like, I want to see that in my week, you know, like I want to see relationships outside of Sunday. If we worship and we just kind of allow to define when the moment is over, then that's what I want my week to look like too.
Wow.
If I'm spending that time with the Lord, you know, prayer, communion, listening to the word, all those things are just in my mind. I feel like it's almost like a blueprint. Like what we do corporately translates to what I do individually.
Yeah.
And I think the idea that worship is dictated that way, it can kind of fall on like, I guess the shoulders of the leader in the room, you know, one of the pastors to kind of define, okay, I'm listening to what the Holy Spirit's doing and it feels like maybe the moment's done. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of times where like, if I'm getting up to close out the time of, you know, singing and worship, like I'm kind of watching Braden as he's up there watching, like if Katie's leading, like last night, I'm kind of like making eye contact with them going like, okay, I feel like maybe the moment's done, but I'm watching to see, do they feel that same thing?
Yeah.
And there's kind of like this partnership in that where we're going, okay, we're just trying like what you said, where we may be leading worship or grabbing a mic or whatever, but we're also just listening to the Holy Spirit. Like, is it the appropriate time for me to do those things?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we could translate that to our week a little bit,
sure,
that would be so helpful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like at what point are we listening and going, okay, Holy Spirit, what rhythm are you trying to train me in this season?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what things, as I'm slowing down, what things are you drawing me into that like I just need to be more aware of?
Yeah.
Because I think when there have been seasons where I can remember I was working a secular job and every lunch break, I just felt drawn to go to the church and pray. So I'd have a 30-minute lunch break and I would just hustle. I just book it to the church. I have about 5 minutes there, 5 minutes back. So I have 20 minutes to just pray. And I just felt drawn to that in that season. And I just, it sticks out to me. It's like a season of my life that like the Holy Spirit was just drawing me to do that. And it was a special significant season. There was another one where I just was really drawn to the word. Like I just felt like the Lord was just showing me things that I haven't seen before. And I was reading scriptures that were familiar, but seeing new things. And, you know, there are different seasons of my life where I look back and go, okay, I just responded and said yes to what I felt like the Holy Spirit was like leading me in. And those are some of the most spiritually like robust, deep seasons of my life that really weren't a preference thing. They weren't like, I'm going to discipline myself in this. Mm-hmm. It was like, I'm just drawn to that. I'm just feeling like, man, maybe I should crack up with, you know, scripture today. And I would say yes to it. And the next day I would feel it again. And I would just say yes to it. And as the Spirit was leading me, I would just keep saying yes to those invitations. And wouldn't you know it, like it was growing my relationship with the Lord in a way that wasn't coming from trying to discipline myself to do these things. Yeah. I wasn't trying to slow myself down, but I was slowing down. I just, it looked more like I'm just saying yes to a temptation to do something good with the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
Like an invitation, like a moment where it's like, I just randomly popped into my head. Maybe I should crack open James today. And I just say yes and yes and yes. And then just saying yes to the Holy Spirit translated into a season that was very special where he's leading me in something that you could call a spiritual discipline or an arm of formation. But really it was just an invitation from the Lord. And if the whole goal of our attention and our devotion is union with the Lord, let him dictate it and just say yes. You know?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like that's a good place to end.
Great.
Cool. That was fun.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for all of you listeners and for all you watchers, we love you guys and we appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.